Well, welcome back to our study of Numbers. We have been reading in chapter 11, and I'd like for us to just to go back and take a look again at verse 4. We've been talking about and learning from the Israelites, and we just read in verse 4 that the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" Now, not to beat a dead horse into the ground here, but there's a couple things that we can pull out from this. First off is the obvious. They were complaining because they wanted certain foods to eat. Complaining against God. "We don't like what you've given us." To me, I see that as more than just food. And Pete alluded to this too with receiving the Word of God. But we can also look at it in ministry. Complaining against God of where He's placed us, what He's asked us to do, what we'd rather do, what we'd rather not do. We have to be so mindful. I have to be, let me turn it to me. I have to be so mindful of my heart's position towards God. Am I submitted to you, Lord? I'm calling you, Lord. But am I allowing you to be my Lord, my ruler and my reigner, the one who provides for me, who gives me what I need, who knows me better than I know myself, who created me and everything that I see? Am I trusting Him in my heart that He's going to give me what I need when I need it? I told Pete, I work on this. I have to work on this. In that, Lord, I'd surely like to be sitting in the background. I'm real good at doing paperwork. I'd rather do, you know. I have to work on that. But that's not where He's placed me. That's not what He's asked me to do. And so for me, that's a matter of my heart. Am I going to submit to you, Lord? When I say I love you with all my heart, do I mean it enough to do what you want me to do and accept what you've given me as thank you, Lord? I appreciate it. It's enough for me and I'm grateful for it. Thank you. So this manna is a big deal here. Now, the other thing I want to point out here, and I might be poking a hornet's nest here, but if I am, so be it. To me, that phrase, the mixed multitude that was among them, the mixed multitude is important here. We can't leave that out. We have to be mindful of who we surround ourselves with. Because the enemy will creep in and be so subtle about it. We need to be mindful of it. Be mindful of who you're allowing to cross those borders into your heart. You need to set a guard at your heart because you can be easily persuaded if you are not firmly planted on a sure foundation. I'll get it out in a minute. We need to be mindful of these things. Here's the other thing I see in this. We just read in that, where was it? Verse 10. That every man in the door of his tent was complaining. You think about how fast a complaint or a murmur will travel. Bad news travels quickly. You'd also think about, because you've all experienced this, how if somebody complains, it's like What is that saying? Where people just who are unhappy, they just it just breeds unhappiness around them. There's a saying that goes with that. Y'all, one complaint can spread like wildfire and break a church and split it over something as stupid as Pete would say, the color of the carpet. Well, I don't like that new piece of furniture in this room. It's just taking up too much space. I want to be able to put my drink on it. Why do we have it in here? Something as simple as that can cause murmuring and complaining, and then it just sets the whole tone for flesh to rise up and close the door off to the spirit. We have to be mindful of these things, you understand. Where you hear murmuring and complaining, I don't want to hear anything about it. I don't have time for that. I don't want to hear anything about it. You know, I actually had a person come to me on a Sunday morning before service in the sanctuary. The sanctuary of God, the house of God, and come up to me and start murmuring and complaining. I had to rise up, O Lord. Thank you for the Spirit of God rising up in me and shut that down. And I boldly said, and if y'all know me, it's the Spirit of the Lord in me because it's not my character. I said, this is not the time nor the place for this conversation. What I'm going to be doing right now is praising the Lord. I suggest you do the same and your problem will be fixed. Get your eyes off you. Get your eyes on the Lord. I'm going to tell you that shut that thing down. I'm going to tell you that person hasn't talked to me since. Nevertheless, y'all, we have to guard our hearts. Guard our hearts. So we can learn a lot from these Israelites, you understand. This can be a history lesson, or this can be a lesson for us about the principles of God. I see the damage complaining does. Now, do you realize here, I said this manna was a big deal. These people complaining against supernatural food that rained down from God. Y'all can think I'm crazy, whatever, it's all right. I look at, for instance, Sunday morning and Sunday evening. That is like supernatural food raining down from God to my spirit. His spirit talking to my spirit. But we can get so accustomed to that. Well, I guess I'll go to Sunday night service. I don't know. It's cold. It's already dark outside. Not wanting to take part of the supernatural food of God. Y'all see what this did to the Israelites, this murmuring and complaining. I want to learn from them. And I thank God that He laid it on Moses and the men who wrote the inspired Word of God into these books of the Bible that we have the privilege to read today. Because you know what? God thought this was so important. You need to record this account that the people complained against the food I was giving them. I don't think that's by chance, you understand. That's for us to learn from. There's a lot in here. There's a lot in here. Amen.
Well said.
Thank you.
You know, something that we need to take in consideration about the mixed multitude, a lot of people think it was just the nation of Israel that came out of Egypt. But the people living in Egypt, they saw the supernatural power of God operating through Moses, you understand, and it got their attention. And so when Israel made their exodus out of Egypt, a lot of other people, other nationalities, went out with them and committed themselves to the leadership of Moses, this new nation, if you will. You with me? Mixed multitude. Do you know that every church is made up of a mixed multitude? Not a lot of it has to do with nationality, but I'm not talking about nationality. I'm talking about spirituality. And you have people that are just carnal people that come to church. They've got their mind on comfort. Please me, do this for me, or whatever. And these are things that leadership has to deal with, okay? And that's why I said I could feel a little bit of Moses' pain, not in comparison to him, you understand? But this standing in the door of the tent is not complaining to someone privately. This is letting everybody know, I don't like what's going on. I don't like what God's feeding me. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to have a thought in yourself. It's another thing to just express it where people can see it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And which is very foolish. Okay? And so this is what Moses was dealing with. It's so interesting to me how God calls a person to a leadership position, like Moses, and look at what he's leading. You think of David. Here God's anointed David to be king, and who's he leading? Renegades, disgruntled people. You understand? What's that doing? God's working on the leader. To where the leader must depend upon God because he can't handle it. Moses gets here, why have you afflicted me? I thought I had favor in your sight. You understand? He said, you put the burden of all these people on me. And he said, I didn't conceive them. This was not my idea. You understand? It's one thing to take care of children that you're responsible for, but it's another thing for somebody else to give you their children that you're responsible for. Okay? You see, he said, I didn't conceive these people. I didn't give birth to them. Yet you told me to carry them in my arms like a nurse carries an infant. I'm supposed to carry these people to the land that you've promised them or promised the forefathers by oath. You've sworn to the forefathers that you've given this land and you want me to carry them there. Where can I get meat that is sufficient to feed all these people? They're asking me for meat to eat. They said, I can't carry these people by myself. Now listen to this. He said, if this is the way it's going to be, kill me. Just kill me. Do it with your own hand. But if I found favor in your sight, I don't want to see this evil. Now you're hearing the heart of the leader. Now you're hearing the heart of Moses. Here's a man doing what God's telling him to do, and he's getting all the flack, you understand? He's getting all the complaining and the disgruntledness that he's having to deal with. Well, you have to learn to deal with it.
Yeah.
But first off, you have to learn you can't.
Mm.
And so what do? You start crying out to God.
Yeah.
You start looking to God. You know, you would be surprised how many overseers, I call them, most people call them pastors, end up in psychiatric care. You can't carry the burdens of the people. I mean, you know, you have days when everything don't go exactly like you want them to go yourself. And I can remember one particular time. I can remember many, but one particular time that I was really down. I mean, I was discouraged, and I'm not a person that vocalizes things. I get by myself, and try to get these things worked out on the inside. You have to learn not to be talking. Get control of your heart before you engage your mouth, okay, or you'll regret things. And in the midst of just filling lower the snake's belly, I got a phone call from a person that wanted counsel. And I said to myself, if you knew what was going on, I would be the last person you would call for counsel. But immediately, I say, Lord, please help me. Please help me. And the Lord just a peace, a calm came on and just gave me the words to give to this person. And it was a lengthy conversation. And when I hung that phone up, that thing had lifted off me. You encourage yourself in the Lord. You don't look for somebody else to encourage you, pat you on the back, you did a good job and all that. The person will tell you you did a good job will tell you you did a bad job too. But you can't pay any attention to that.
Yeah.
What you have to do is get settled in the inside, did I obey God? If I obey God, what people say doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. That doesn't mean you love people. That means you're not controlled by people. You're controlled by God. And so Moses is learning quickly to depend upon God. I mean, from the time he went into Egypt, boy, you talk about opposition. And then you would think, man, we've got these people out. We crossed the Red Sea, so we're going to live happily ever after. Well, it just didn't work that way, did it? No, they're complaining from at the Red Sea. They're complaining after they crossed the Red Sea. They had just a short period of time of rejoicing. But then they're complaining again. You understand?
Yeah.
It's the same way today. And we have to learn, if we're going to lead people, we can't let the people get to us to where we operate in the flesh. You don't fight flesh with flesh. You get the mind of the Lord and you deal with things by the Spirit of God. The Lord has told me more than one time, don't say a word. Don't say a word. And to emphasize that, he's told me, keep your mouth shut. I understand that language. Okay? Don't retaliate. Don't try to vindicate yourself. You let me handle it. And I'll tell you what that does. It gets you to the point to where you start depending on the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to always be feeling sorry for yourself. Poor me. You know? And so God takes you through places. But I'm going to tell you something. God heard Moses' heart's cry.
Yeah.
And so he told him, you assemble 70 men who that you know are legitimate elders, mature people with their head on straight. I'm putting that in, okay? You assemble them at the door of the tent of meeting. You have them to stand there and you stand with them. Okay? And so what's God going to do? God's going to give him someone to help him. I promise you that no person can stand alone. You can't do the job by yourself. You have to have people helping you.
Yeah.
But you have to understand that the people who's helping you may not see everything exactly like you see it, but you've got to work together in order to get this mission accomplished, okay? And so the Lord tells him, you assemble them together. And you want to read on so I don't get ahead of you?
That's okay. Verse 17, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you hear it not yourself alone.
So the Lord told Moses, says, you assemble them together, you stand there with them, and I'm going to come down, and I'm going to talk with you, and I'm going to take some of the Spirit that's on you, and I'm going to place it on the 70 elders. Now, I want you to notice, even though they're elders, they are not in a position to assist in leadership until the Spirit of God is on them.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yes. Yeah.
He's not putting inexperienced novices in a position, all right? And he says, afterwards, they'll help you carry the burden of these people. In other words, there's delegated authority. Even if you look at what I call the Jethro principle, to where Moses' father-in-law, when he saw what he was doing after he brought the people out of Egypt, from morning till evening, they're standing in line waiting to talk to Moses. People don't understand. As a minister, they don't understand how much time that you spend. You don't know that I was here this morning before 7:30, right? And I won't be leaving here probably till about 9:30. But people don't understand that, and a lot of times after you've been here 12, 14 hours or 16 hours, they don't think, well, I just got here. You're not as sharp in the end as you are in the beginning. So you'd better be listening to the Lord, that's for sure. And so these elders are to assist him by the Spirit in giving the people the counsel they need. And really, if you follow all this out, is a lot of this has to do with disagreements. And so these disagreements have to be settled, like today the world does it through the court system. But even at that, you have your various courts, you know, your local, your district, and you move on up the ladder. Captains over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, over ten. That was the Jethro principle. Moses, you can't do it. You're going to wear yourself out. Well, Moses got the picture. He was wearing himself out, okay? And the Lord says, all right, I'm going to give you people to help you. Let the Lord help you. But in letting the Lord help you, make sure it's the Lord helping you and not the devil.
Mm.
Because the devil will put people in your midst to create problems for you who will betray you. I know that by experience. Okay? So it has to be people that are people of God. People who have the Spirit of God in them. And so you get direction from the Lord. I believe you just need to surround yourself with people of the Spirit. Not with people of expertise, like so many do. Well, this guy's a banker, we'll make him the treasurer. Just because he's a banker doesn't mean he's a man of integrity. It doesn't mean that he'll follow the Spirit of God. He'll think naturally. We need you to think spiritually. What does God want to do with his money? You follow me? And so, If you're going to lead the people to the land that God wants to take them, you're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God, and you're going to have to allow other people to help you who are led by the Spirit of God. Hmm. Okay?
Okay.
You want to add to that?
We talked in the office about the importance of being led by the Spirit of God and how, as easy as it sounds, it's difficult in the sense of you have to really be willing to put the flesh down to pay attention to the Spirit. And as Pete was saying, allowing somebody to help and allowing God to appoint the people to help can often be contrary. God's choices aren't necessarily always our choices, are they? And we have to be sensitive to the Spirit and willing to submit and realize that He knows better than we know.
You know, we've just had some situation in construction and all this type stuff where it's actually slowed us down when and you're having to do things you wouldn't have had to done, wouldn't have had to have done, because people helping you didn't know what to do. And they did the wrong thing. Which makes it a hardship on you. That's why it's so important that you surround yourself with spiritually competent people. You understand? Would you want a person to build your house and never built a house? Probably not. You want someone that has some experience, right? And so you have to surround yourself with those people, and you're not going to know them. You're going to have to get the Lord to reveal to you what you should do. You know, we've prayed about who's to be in what position and to get the guidance of the Lord, not by popularity, not even by skills and ability, but by heart. By heart. If your heart's right, we can teach you some things. But if your heart's not right, we can't teach you and you won't cooperate with us. You understand? And this is what's wrong in the church world today. Is everybody's wanting to do their own thing, not God's thing. And this is about God. This is not about building an empire. This is not about building a church. Jesus is building His church. We just have to cooperate with Jesus, the builder. You with me? And He gives us all different assignments. But we're to be led by the Spirit. And don't disdain the day of small beginnings. If you prove yourself faithful in small things, then God is going to put more responsibility in you. But don't look for the big responsibility when you can't even do what He told you to do. Read your Bible. That's where it starts. Keep the Word before you. Don't let it stop coming out of your mouth. Guard your heart with all diligence. These are the little things you need to take care of.
That's a good thing. Okay. Where are we? Help me. Thank you. And say, thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that you have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before Him, saying, why we came forth out of Egypt.
Now, this interests me. They've complained. They want meat. And in the midst of this, God said, you tell them to cleanse themselves in preparation for the next day, for tomorrow. You get clean. I'm going to feed you, but you get clean. Now, the food is going to end up working against them.
Mm.
Okay? You want meat? I'm going to give you meat. So the Lord told Moses, he said, I'll give them eat the meat because of their crying remarks that they've made about the food that they had eaten in Egypt. He said, I'm going to give them meat to eat for a whole month. Every day. I mean, you're going to have meat to eat for a month. He said, they're going to eat meat until it comes out their nostrils. In other words, I'm going to feed you till you start throwing up the thing that you've been craving for. And he said it'll be disgusting to you. And so the food they desired actually was going to be a punishment to them because they complained and asked the Lord why he'd even brought them out of Egypt. Well, they volunteered. They didn't have to go out of Egypt. You understand? You didn't have to come out of sin. You could have stayed there and died. And so if you've chosen to come out of sin, don't complain about the way the Lord leads you.
Mm-hmm.
It was your choice.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't draft you. You volunteered. And so we can't afford to be complaining about what God feeds us. I'm going to tell you, he's fed me a lot of stuff I didn't like. But you suck it up and eat it, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to please God, then you're going to have to prove to God and to yourself that God's more important than you are. And so you're going to do things God's way. It amazes me how people will go on what they call mission trips and complain. Complain about the food. Complain about this. Complain about that. And sometimes I think Americans are just spoiled brats. You understand? They want it their way. And think, we represent 20% of the world, and we think the other 80% is supposed to act like us. Now, I've learned this. When God sends you somewhere, you respect where God's sending you. You respect God, and you fit in. You don't try to change them. All you're wanting to do is get their eyes on Jesus. You're not there to change their culture per se. I never take food with me. I feel like the Lord will protect me. You understand? I don't try to carry the comforts of home in a suitcase. I believe I'll be comfortable where God sends me because he'll watch over me. That's not to say I don't appreciate hot water or water. Period. You understand? I appreciate electricity. But when it comes to the things of God, that's a small price to pay to do the will of God. Is it worth it 1,000 times over? We've got to get that in our thinking. Life's not about you. It's not about me. What does God want? Whether I'm here or whether I'm in another country, what does God want? Then let's stay focused on the Lord. I learned this. If I stay focused on the Lord, then that silences the flesh. The flesh is not telling me, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want that. No, the Spirit is directing you on what the people need in you. It's amazing how the Spirit will energize you. I'm telling you that the times that I've put in the most hours, I've felt the most refreshed, which is amazing. But when... What was it? That one session in Haiti was 4 hours long. One session. And I had to stop that so they could eat because they didn't want to stop. You understand? Why? They're spiritually hungry. When you get spiritually hungry, then the flesh doesn't matter to you. You think about the people that was following Jesus, the multitude, 5,000. He told his disciples, feed them. He said, if I send them away, they've been 3 days without eating. Would you go 3 days without eating to hear the word of the Lord? They were so engrossed with this God speaking through this physical body of Jesus that they're not thinking about eating naturally. They're thinking about eating the word. What did Moses write in Deuteronomy? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You need to learn to live by the word. You with me? Okay. I don't want to complain and then get sick on what I asked for. And that's exactly what they did.
We read that and I can't help but think about my mama.
Excuse me?
I said, when we read that, I can't help but think about my mama, because when we would cry unnecessarily, she would let us know real quickly, you want to cry, I'll give you something to cry about. I'll take care of that for you. I'll give you a good reason. God dealt with these people.
I've heard it was said before, you keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, eat what's set before you. What the Lord sets before you, eat it.
Yeah.
Don't complain about it. Because if you start complaining about it, he may give you what you want to your own detriment. And that's a loser any way you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have to stop there.
Okay.
Our time's up. So we'll pick back up, I guess, with verse 21, somewhere right in that area. I just want us to obey God.
Yeah.
Isn't that simple? Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, enlarge your territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, go in peace. Go with God.